weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 315 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, we also get to say Welcome to Paradise, which is the title of an upcoming Scout comic that is being done by A.C. Medina and Morgan Sawyer. I talk with both the writer and the artist about the upcoming comic and its unique characters as well as an interesting situation. The two are putting a unique spin on an interesting genre in comics, and I think you're going to enjoy what's going on with it. The book will start coming out in March, which we talk about, and you should get a hold of your local comic shop and let them know you want the book from Scout Comics. And once again, I'd like to make a pitch for Scout. Go to scoutcomics.com and check out these good things, including Welcome to Paradise. They talk about how they've gotten to this point and where they hope to go in the future as comics creators. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they have to say. There's a lot to get to. So let's get on with the show. Great to welcome to the podcast A.C. Medina and Morgan Sawyer, the creators of an upcoming Scout comic called Welcome to Paradise. Let's see, let's start off with you, A.C. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. You know, I had a fun day of work. It's been pretty hectic, you know, trying to promote and keep everything going with deadlines and whatnot, but it's been fun. And I'm really excited to get the book out there.
Yeah, and Morgan, how about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great. Okay. Now, why don't we start off? I'll go ahead and read what the website says, because I kind of like the description there. It says, "Welcome to a world filled with deadly drag races for sport, routine mass killings called the cleanings, and where the common house is the size of a closet." Kind of sounds like where I live now. I don't know about that. But the story follows Manny, a fun-loving chop shop delivery boy, on the run and in possession of what may be humanity's last hope. The only problem is Manny's world is a bunker the size of California, and just about everyone in it wants him dead. So I've got to ask, did you guys come up with a concept together? Was it something that maybe AC you came up with and then got Morgan's involvement with? How did this go, AC?
So it's actually a fun story. I think it started literally with just one text of me telling Morgan, you know, wouldn't it be cool if a comic was set, I think it was just Underground Bunker, was it?
We were talking about apocalyptic movies, like post-apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have to say, the one thing I love about the art is it's very, you've got Ross Campbell as the colorist, but a lot of the coloring has been really amazing, really intriguing and eye-catching and stuff like that. I mean, was that part of the plan to have, you know, because the artwork is real eye-popping and stuff too. I mean, Morgan, how did you decide to use the art style you did for Welcome to Paradise?
I mean, the art style is just sort of my quick hand style, so Ross adapted really well. We had done some test characters for another project, and we liked how his stuff worked with my line art, so It just complements really well. He's amazing.
Mm. It really is a tremendous – the look of it is really something that sparkles real well that I really like. So I'm kind of fascinated. I mean, it almost looks – you know, you're talking about the story. It looks almost like it's a Japan or an anime kind of inspired kind of place. Is that the way that you guys intended for it to be?
Well, it's fun, right? Because in our story, literally everyone that they could have from the entire world was just jammed into this bunker. And from there, this new civilization rose. And you take all the different cultures around, like from the entire world, and it becomes this literal melting pot. So Morgan really wanted, I'm sure he can elaborate a lot more, but something that really got me going from the start is he wanted to incorporate all of that, all of the different, not just Morgan, take it from me, like we're all.
Yeah, it was a lot of like, it was sort of like how the meshing in early Blade Runner, where it was like a combination of Hispanic, like Spanish and Japanese and other Chinese, all just sort of jam-packed together, and just imagining how the world would look if everything was just all pushed into one small section.
Because it's just an amazing little place. It's just so busy in that sense, but you can't take your eye off it. I mean, as far as like putting the pages together, that must have been quite a challenge, though, Morgan. I mean, you know, all that stuff you had to put in there, you know, most artists don't like to do those kinds of things. They like to make things simple and sweet and reasonably quick to do. But this must have taken some time.
Yeah, it definitely has taken time. I wanted to challenge myself with this project. I used the Walled City in China as a reference. So I have a bunch of just images of that I constantly look back on. And actually, with as complex as it looks, it's pretty simple to draw after a while. It's just a bunch of boxes sort of set on top of each other.
Okay. I got to ask about Manny, too. Talk about who Manny is, AC. How old is he? He looks a little older than, you know, normally this kind of stuff, you've got a teenager running this show and the one that we're following all over the place, but he doesn't look like a teenager to me. He's got like a mustache, apparently. He's a little older looking. Talk about who Manny is and, you know, who the character is based on, or if he's a new creation that you came up with.
So with Manny, what I wanted to take is most of the time when it comes to a post-apocalyptic story, you get some form of an extreme for a character. You either get someone who really wants to protect and keep justice going in the post-apocalyptic setting, or you have someone that's just letting the apocalypse bring out the worst in them and run wild. Manny, I want it to be an extreme, but a complete outlier to the norm in that situation. Manny just wants to enjoy whatever life he's able to salvage in this apocalyptic world. So he's trying to get the best out of his time here. And that all changes when you take the most, probably one of the most relaxed people in this entire world in Manny, and you place him right now with the item that he finds in the story it's really essential to our plot. It basically takes him and puts the entire pressure of surviving in this apocalyptic environment on his shoulders, quite literally. And with Manny, it never really changes for him as he doesn't know how long he has. You know, he lives in a world where people come and go every single day. But his goal is to just get the most out of the time he has. That's really been a driving force behind Manny. And I think it also translated to his design. You know, we wanted to make him seem real friendly, somebody you want to hang out with a lot. Age-wise, we haven't really given Manny an exact age, have we, Morgan?
Well, when you had him described to me, he was mid-20s slacker, basically, is what the descriptor was, so...
Okay, because things I'm interested in is the fact that he's got, and it's not spoiling anything, I don't think, because I've seen images of this, but he's got a metal hand. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that is? I mean, is that got to do with something about his character?
Oh, yeah, that hand right there symbolizes for Manny just how far he's willing to go to survive. But you get to know exactly what happened when he lost his hand, or better yet, who cost him his hand.
Okay.
And that translates to how he reacts to the world, in the sense that he's got maybe one or two friends that he thoroughly enjoys spending time with, and he is very happy with that. He just wants to enjoy his life and be with his friends. He doesn't want to help or hurt anyone, you know? He's quite literally right in the middle of that frame. And him losing his hand, I think, is a... like I said, it's a physical reminder of what he's lost.
Okay. And this is something that will unfold as the story goes along, it sounds like. Okay. So I've got a question, too, about the fact that he's using a futuristic skateboard. You know, he's got kind of a baseball-type cap on and a coat, and it's obviously must have been some kind of sports team. and then he's got like a shirt on, t-shirt, and looks like a, you know, the sports kind of pants that people wear, and sneakers. And so he's not a you know, an upper crusty kind of guy. He's kind of an everyday fellow, looks like. And as far as like putting that, what would you call it, we say a costume together, what was that like? I mean, did you, Morgan, have to, did you pick out like things that we have today in order to try to base that on?
Yeah, I mean, there are some styles that we've seen for the last, 20, 30 years that just seem to hang around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was just sort of a bomber jacket. It's just sort of a windbreaker, and t-shirts aren't going anywhere, and pants and shoes. So it's I went pretty simple. I mean, I didn't want him to be overly futuristic, so it was unrelatable. It was it's in the future, but like technology and stuff really has been geared differently, and fashion has sort of taken a back seat as surviving has sort of taken precedence.
What are these things that he's wearing talk about his personality, AC?
I would say it goes back to how much of just a fun-loving guy Manny is. And I believe the logo on his hat is it's Echt, right, Morgan?
That's on his jacket. His jacket is his company windbreaker.
Yeah, that's actually the fun part. Is probably the only thing Manny takes overtly serious is his job. Best friend and boss, Rojo. Mm-hmm. Rojo, he is he's not so much of like a guardian for Manny as he is just an older friend, you know, like. It's like that. It's like when you're best friends with your uncle, you know? You don't quite respect him as like an elder, but you respect him as a close friend. I think there's actually a lot to be said in the fact that Manny wears clothes that pertain to his job, because it's really the only thing that he's attached to.
So, Chop Shop Delivery Boy. What does the Chop Shop Delivery Boy do?
In the world of Welcome to Paradise, technology has continue to advance. Like in our world, right, compared to most post-apocalyptic settings, usually when, you know, everything goes to all to hell, everyone kind of loses it and has to restart. Mm-hmm. In our world, society just had a bit of a bump, you know, a really rough bump that was the apocalypse, but it found its own new way and it kept going and kept advancing. And one thing that makes the world of Welcome Paradise possible is the technology they use. Mm-hmm. And this technology, it's almost like, I would say it's probably more, it's comparatively to groceries nowadays, you know? Mm. Every so often you need a new little part here, new little part there. So Manny's job is just a delivery guy. Mm. And this allows him, which is his main skill. Manny isn't really, you know, he's not really the greatest hand-to-hand fighter or anything like that. But what Manny can do is travel really well. He knows how to get through all the little nooks and crannies in the bunk. Mm-hmm. So this comes hand in hand with his job. You know, it's something he's inherently good at, which is navigating.
Now Rojo, his name is, that's the word for red, but he doesn't look red. So I'm kind of interested in that. I mean, is this Rojo is kind of this big, bulky guy that is Manny works with. And I just got a kick out of his name, the fact that it has nothing to do with his appearance. So do you want to talk? You mentioned a little bit about Rojo. Do you want to go a little deeper into him? I mean, obviously, he's got a big part to play in this, because he's got, when we see the first couple pages, he's got the device around which this whole story apparently is going to move. Or am I mistaken in that?
Yeah. Rojo plays a very big part in the story, not only at the beginning of it, but also towards its end. And as far as his name goes, well, it's a fun story. I would say, it's not really a fun story. The name Rojo, I wish we had a higher meaning for it, but really, you know, I like the idea of, you know, usually you've seen characters with like a name that's based on a color, you know, and I wanted to again show the different influences of cultures in our world. And I figured, you know, what a better twist on it than giving him a Spanish name, a version of a typical name. Mm-hmm. And maybe that might be something to think that later down the line in the series. bring back. But with Rojo and Manny, really their big big part of their relationship is, again, probably the only person in this world that showed Manny any kind of like, hey, I'll help you, you help me, because it's really big, you know, it's the apocalypse, so it's survival of the fittest. But Rojo was the only person to successfully actually help out Manny and show him a lending hand. So for that, I feel like he might be the only person Manny has any sort of, I don't want to say allegiance because that's a stronger word, but it's definitely someone he's really close with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, when this thing opens up and we see Manny going someplace, and when he gets there, that's when he gets into Rojo. You know, he comes and meets him there. And then there's apparently a race going on. And that's where a lot of this stuff starts to go. You get to see a car and a futuristic kind of a flying car going at it. But the discussion between Manny and Rojo talks about the fact that he's determined to win, Rojo is. And he says something really cryptic, Rojo does to Manny. He doesn't talk about, he's talking to him about something about how important it is to win. He says, what's in there is going to change everything, he says. And then when he gets to the when he starts asking about it, then Rojo responds with a really cryptic remark, and this is where it's described in the book as well. I'm talking about mankind, he says, not just us. And of course, that leads me to leave. And of course, I don't want you guys to spoil anything, but obviously, you've got in mind what it is that he's after. Can you give us like a hint or something about what he's after? I don't want you to, again, don't spoil everything, but tell us a little bit about what it is that Rojo's after.
So in our world, there's a clear separation in class system. And Rojo has, all I can say this is he knows a lot more of what actually makes the bunk possible, what keeps it going, and especially, you know, the happenings, not just in the shambles, which is the lowest part of our world, and the roughest part you know, to survive. And in the drag race, there's a lot more going on there than we first let on, mm-hmm. and it's something that we kind of uncover as the story goes on. It's a part of himself that Rojo even hid from Manny himself. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to catch Manny off guard as much as it catches the reader off guard. Mm-hmm. And alongside Manny, we figure out what all is going on.
So Manny's kind of our perspective in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So that gives us a chance that we know where it's going to go. Now, of course, we need some specifics on this book. Do we know when the book is coming out at this point? At what point is it going to be released? AC, do you know that?
We've been told March. We haven't been told an exact date.
Yeah.
Oh, it says March 28th on the order.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, Diamond says that on every one of Scout books. Puts the end of the month. Oh. And so, you know, it's like with Stabbity Bunny came out the middle of the month instead of January, the end of January. So you can be certain that we don't know exactly when that's going to be. So it's probably going to, we'll probably know as we get closer to it, but definitely during the month of March. Mm-hmm. So that'll be great. So how long have you guys been working on it then? I mean, Morgan, how long have you been putting the time into this and working on this stuff to work?
Well, we started it almost a year and a half ago, at like right before New York Comic Con 2016 is when we announced it. And then there was just some there were some unavoidable delays on a couple of the art team's side. So it took a while to get everything back on track, but we've been pushing through. I mean, we're a couple issues in now, so
Yeah. Real life gets in the way of comics occasionally, so that's all we can do about that. So, well, that's good. So this is going to come out starting in March. Is this a monthly series? It's a mini series? How's this going to work, AC?
So it's a mini series. Right now we have set for 5 issues, and it'll run monthly.
Okay. It'll come out from Scout. Has it appeared in the previews yet?
Yeah, it's available right now for pre-order.
Okay. So let your comic shop know that this is coming out. If you like these kinds of good things, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners do, so I would recommend you get to your comic store and let them know you want to get this book. It's going to be starting in March. So even if the store lets them know a little later, they can probably up their orders with Diamond and stuff, which is going to be important. Now, it's not only going to be available through Diamond, though, aren't you? You can buy it through the Scout Comics website, right?
Yeah.
You can buy it directly at scoutcomics.com.
Yeah, that'll be good. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the stuff that you guys have done before building up to this. AC, I know you did Elasticator for one of the earliest Scout comics. Talk about how different a process this was to Elasticator, because Elasticator is kind of a little bit of a superhero thing, and this is much less so. How did this come up? Was this your desire to do something a little besides Elasticator? How did you approach this?
Yeah, so one of my main goals as a writer is to be able to, you know, tell my version of, you know, a lot of landmark type of stories. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like a superhero story, I wanted to start off with that. You know, it's what I started off with as a reader. You know, I grew up on a lot of superheroes, so I wanted to tell my own. And then the same thing with Welcome to Paradise. I wanted to tell my own story, my own version of a post-apocalyptic story, because I feel like it's one that's, it's kind of a staple with comics now. Mm-hmm. And it's just my goal to, you know, get my voice out there in as many different genres as I can, you know, show people, hey, you know, what I'm able to do, but also that I just enjoy being able to have the freedom to do as many stories as possible.
That's good. A good writer can write more than just one kind of story. So I'm always happy to hear when somebody says they don't only do Westerns, let's say, or crime dramas or something like that. It's great when you can do more than that kind of thing.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. I think it just, you know, it keeps everything fun.
Okay, now, Morgan, what books have you done? I'm a little less familiar with the stuff that you've done as far as comics goes. Can you give us a little bit of background as to your work in comics?
Well, this is really the first one that's being published. I've done a couple with just friends that were just released at comic conventions, mm-hmm. mainly. I worked on one called Hyper Slum with my friend Julian, and that was a lot of fun, but this is the first one with AC, so.
Okay, so, well, of course, that leads me to the next question is, I mean, is Welcome to Paradise going to be keeping you guys busy for a while? Morgan, are you working on other things? Do you go to convention stuff? What's mm-hmm. this? How's this fit into your schedule?
I'm working full-time on Welcome to Paradise, and I currently am teaching a comics course at VSU, so that's mainly what my priorities are right now, and going to conventions with Alan to pitch the book. So,
okay, all right. Now, while I've got you, I'll talk with you. I'll talk with AC in a second. What conventions are you going to be attending this year?
Well, I think we're attending C2E2 and definitely Heroes Con, and I think we're still shoring up the list. So I'm not exactly sure how many we're doing this year.
Okay, are you going to be have your own table? Are you going to be at Scout's table? How's that going to work?
I think we're doing our own tables.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Now, AC, how about you? Is this keeping you busy pretty much these days, or do you have other projects in your irons in the fire?
Yeah, I mean, I have coming out this year, I have Welcome to Paradise with Scout Comics. I also have Monarchs coming out with Scout, hopefully towards the end of the year. I'll also be on this anthology for helping out with Puerto Rico. It's published by Lion Forge. Mm. Really excited for that. It's in pre-orders now, and I really hope everyone checks that out. You know, it's very special working on that project. I'm also working with my writing partner, Mina Elwell. She wrote Inferno for Scout Comics. Mm-hmm. Her and I, you know, we're a bit of a team, and we have a new book coming out with Starburns Enterprise. This is their first year as a publishing division, mm-hmm. and we're really excited to have that out. That's been a total blast to work on, and yeah, it's, you know, just constantly keep moving, developing new stuff, and trying to stay as busy as possible. You know, right now with Welcome to Paradise, I feel like I'm working on two things, because, you know, I like to treat promotion and the actual writing as two, you know, mm-hmm. whole different.
Very cool. Now, I got to ask, because you did Elasticator. What other stuff have you written that we should know about?
Elasticator was my first comic. Oh. I kind of did that to get my feet wet. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's just been like off to the races, you know, just mm-hmm. Trying to get as much content out there.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, you've been with Scout for quite a while, and I talked with Jim Pruitt back when he was starting out with Mindbender, and I didn't realize he was a publisher there. Do you have a role in Scout Comics as well, that like he does? Do you serve a function in Scout?
No, I like to help out as much as I can, but I really do that, you know, with everyone in comics. I feel like as a comic book creator, you should try and figure out all angles of it mm-hmm. and help out the industry as a whole as much as you can. Mm-hmm. So, but as far as like an official role or anything, no.
Okay. Okay, because I think that Scout is one of those great up-and-coming companies that I think people should pay attention to, because you guys have a lot of wonderful creative stuff. I don't know many companies that are as creative as you guys. I mean, there are some that I really like, but Scout has just kind of rushed past everybody and come up with all this really wonderful comic storytelling that I don't think anybody else even touches. So I have to say that you guys as Scout are doing something that is really special as far as the comic industry goes.
Oh no, yeah, definitely. I really enjoy working with the guys at Scout. Jim, like you mentioned, great guy. As his brother Joe, I think both of them they've done a lot for comics, and it's been fun working with them.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. So if you look at Scout, boy, I would say if you're new to comics or you never heard of Scout before, I would say look them up and check out their stuff. Because they have a lot of tremendous stuff out there. And this is another one I think that's going to catch people's eye. And I think a lot of people will like not only the story, but I think the artwork's going to get people's attention a lot. Okay, so the book is called Welcome to Paradise. It's going to start in March. We'll probably know as we get closer to it exactly the date that it comes out. But just keep your eye open for it on that month. And it's probably going to come out monthly after that for at least 5 months. And are you guys thinking about trading, putting it into a trade paperback, AC?
Yeah, definitely. That's the goal. And that all depends on how sales and how everyone receives the title. I'm just excited to get it out there, and I hope people enjoy it.
Yeah, once again, this is the kind of thing I could see really easy be an animated movie or a series or something like that. And Morgan, I think a lot of it has to do with your art and all that. I just think this could be a perfect, and you know, even an anime type of a thing. If somebody came to you and wanted to do that, would you be interested in making that happen, Morgan?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it'd be really cool to see it all come to life even further beyond it being still images. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. Well, again, it's Welcome to Paradise, and it's going to start in March. Let your comic shop know that you're interested in this book from Scout Comics. And again, check out the Scout Comics stuff. It's all great stuff. And AC and Morgan, I think you're doing great stuff. I'm looking forward to this book. I think it's going to be fun to read and quite a nice thing to have in your guys' personal portfolios. I think it's going to help you get other work in the future because it's so inventive and energetic. So AC, Morgan, you guys keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next episode when I'll have another terrific conversation with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.